we're talking about kids, and it's my real pleasure to have, even though they've done the what passes for the multimedia tour of the Midwest, and John Tos and Tracy Weiner in here to talk about their new podcast that is just, how do you call it, dropped its second episode.
Dropped.
It is it's apparently, as in apparently, L-Y. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
You both have a lengthy WGN resume you've worked for, and I'm lumping you both together, though you've done producing for all manner of people. Spike Cochran, Roy Leonard, Bob Collins, Business Lunch with the great Steve Bertrand, and even Bob and Marianne. Let me ask both of you, what got you into this business specifically in the first place?
So radio to begin with, right? Yes. When we were kids?
Anne's voice is like that. She will be the one sounding most like me because she was at her 25th college reunion, huh?
Yes, and I just got to say, I talked a lot. Shocking.
So you've got to listen to this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Although I'm like, we have kids. We don't need to.
What drew you to this business?
I know for me, I was a performer, I was an actor, and I was cast in a role based on my rear end. And I was really upset about that, and I got in the car, and Roy Leonard was reviewing a show I was in, and he said, keep your eye open, there's this young woman named Ann Johnsos, she's going to be something. So I went, it was New Year's Eve, and I went home and I typed up, I think on a typewriter, a note to Roy Leonard and said, I don't want to do TV or I want to do radio, I want no one to look at me ever again, and I want to do what you do or help you. And he helped me get an internship here.
Are you kidding? I never knew that story.
That's it. Yeah. Roy Leonard.
Roy was something. He mentored a ton, Nick included, a ton of people, and that's how you got into this strange business. Had you ever toyed with that? I mean, you went to Yale.
Yeah, and I was...
Did you get Yale drama?
I was a theater major there.
Wow.
But I was...
You and Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah, exactly. She's my mother. But I did not know. I wanted to be a performer.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then
sure.
When you come from a college situation where you're writing your own stuff, essentially, and then you go to Equity Theater, and the director at the time was like, stand over there, non-Equity. And
oh,
I was
really?
Like, oh, yeah. I feel bad about myself. So
there are many, as you know, humiliations in the early days of acting. I'm sure there even were for Meryl Streep. But that's a very interesting career path. Tracy, how did you get into this crazy business?
Actually, I didn't know that I was going to go into radio until I was just in my senior year of college that summer, and I was working at a Chili's waiting tables.
Uh-huh.
And the day before, I was sending resumes out for everywhere to try to get internships, you know, right out of college.
Internships and in what kind of
in
fields?
In radio. TV, yeah. And I have listened to GN my whole life. That's what my parents listened to. And so I knew every single person. And the day before my interview for an internship with Randy Eccles, I waited on a table, a family, and I was like, I know this voice. And I go, are you Spike Odell?
Are you kidding me?
And he said, yes, I am. And I said, oh, my God, I have an interview tomorrow. And this is how old it was, how long ago this was. I ran to the back of the restaurant and got on the payphone and called my mom and dad to tell them that I was waiting on Spike. So the next day when I was at the interview for the internship, Spike walked in to the office and he's like, hey, Tracy, how are you? And the rest is history.
Now, you're both looking at each other and you guys are really good friends.
We've known each other forever.
You have never heard those stories before.
For real? About me?
I did not know about you. So when I was here for about 3 months before she got here, and I was like, who's this little lady with the long nails and the red fingertips and also very big hair, almost as big as mine? And I was like, oh, she's going to take over for Spike Odell. Well, I'm going to take over for Bob Collins. But I was filling in for Edna Ho was on maternity leave.
I remember all these people.
Oh my God.
So I filled in for her during maternity leave, and I was like, and then I'm going to be out. Like, I'm not ever coming. Like, who's going to hire me?
Yeah, right.
But it spiraled. But she got Spike, and I was like, I wanted Spike Odell.
See, the nice thing about it for both of you is you started working for really nice, talented people. The great thing about the Spike story is, of course, Spike would have family dinner at a Chili's. You know,
yeah. It wasn't like on Route 59.
A Linea or someplace. Yeah. He was having dinner at Chili's.
Yeah.
Once you got in, and we will talk about the podcast, but I'm fascinated about what brings you to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
When you got in, was it all you expected it to be? I mean, was it creatively exciting for you, intimidating in any way?
All of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. And what
also,
else?
Also, I think I did not know what it was until I left, because I left before Tracy did. I was like, this radio station's awesome. I wonder if all radio is this way. And it wasn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
No, it's not.
To have that kind of family, and it was a family.
Oh, this place is unique.
Yeah. And then also, like, there was creative, and I just found I did a bunch of promos. There's a part-timer, her name was Dr. Kate. She was a psychology person. I recorded all these promos for her. I listened to them. I sounded like a bird, a chirpy little bird, because, you know, I was like 22.
Yeah.
So funny. I might bring them out. But I was like, well, this is a wonderful place to be, but is all radio this way? And I had no idea till I left that this place is like Brigadoon.
What did you leave to do?
To do more radio, and then I went to grad school to do at Medill to do a real journalism degree, because I felt like I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you here that first time?
A couple of years.
And what about you, Tracy?
Six.
Why
years.
Did you leave?
I was right after Bob died in mm-hmm. the plane crash, actually.
Well, I remember that morning when I was standing. I did the story about Spike filling in for Bob and talking. I was here at like 4 o'clock in the morning talking to that Salvation Army guy who stood outside, you know, playing. That was a haunting.
It was.
Haunting day. Well, they're both in here for the entire hour, Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner. We will eventually talk about their apparently podcast that has just started. You dropped your second episode tonight, right?
I love the fact that you used the word dropped.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yes, but I didn't even know what it was till yesterday. I'm like, are we going to drop another episode?
Well, yeah. You know why I know that?
Why?
Because I listened to your interview with John Williams, and I stole it from that. Okay, I'm going, good. I would have no idea. You have issued your second podcast.
We pushed a button.
I got to tell you, ladies, and that's why I'm glad we have this whole hour. It's very, very compelling, and I think you are really on to something here. And I have known a number of people who have podcasts who I could never say that to. We will be back, and they're staying for the entire hour. I'll tell you first at the Southsiders, maybe watch Mike and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlan. They really have to, you know, type out phonetically Joe Donlan. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. We'll be right back. Bob Dylan, 77 years old this week. I have in here with me for the rest of this hour Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner. They're going to talk about very shortly about their new podcast, which is apparently, we will spell that for you and tell you how to get it. There are two episodes now. It's terrible that the great Sarah Hagen could not make it in here because she is... Because she is now the most loyal listener, I think, to the podcast. May have been exactly the first listener to the podcast. Well, Sarah, maybe one of these days we'll have you in and you can talk about the incredible success of the podcast in a few months. So you two are great friends. You stay friends while you get married. You have children. You each have two.
Yep.
And you kids play together at some
text
point.
Text each other.
Well, and the other thing, at some point, I mean, one of the reasons I think this is a great idea for a podcast, it is apparently, and we'll explain why that, but it's a show that does not quite offer advice to, but that's part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It is kind of an educational entertainment kind of product. There have only been two of them that kind of share, based on your own experiences, the experiences, these universal experiences that all parents have. I have a 13-year-old. Your kids are 12, 12, 10, and 9 and a half, correct?
And a half for sure.
Is that like something? Is that not boys or girls?
Both.
So she's got a girl and a boy. I've got two girls.
Okay. So it's 3 to 1, right?
Yeah.
But also, when we sat
outnumbered.
When we sat down, though, and you said Fiona's 13, both of us did the, oh. Because it is universal. When you're getting a tween or a teen, it's an entirely new chapter in your life.
No question.
No matter how wonderful they are, you are starting a new set of troubles that we all have.
Yeah. And some are able to deal with them and some are not. So the birth of this show, and the birth of the show is maybe it was you're sitting around saying, God, you know, Betty's doing blow and and Billy doesn't like to drink beer. Billy doesn't likes to play with dolls or whatever the problem is. At what point do you say, you know, we're radio professionals. There are all manner of information sources out there. A bookstore will blind you. Online will drive you insane. Yeah. Maybe we should focus our lives to try to enlighten other people. Is that basically... That sounds like a very rarefied conversation to have after two glasses of wine while the kids are going to sleep. But
it's similar to that. And I know for me, like when I left GN a couple of years ago, it was with this idea that I would do a podcast, although I was not sure I was doing a podcast. And then when I finally wrote the book, not a good book. I mean,
I love Potty Mouth. It's a cute book, Anne. Right, cute book.
But when I finished that, I was like, I'm not done. And so I thought this podcast would be good. And I said, I can't do it without Tracy. And so we came together and we had lunch while I was trying to shop my book at Anderson's bookstore. We had lunch.
At a Chili's? Tell me it was a Chili's.
And then Spike Odell showed up.
It's unbelievable. He's everywhere.
We said that. I was like, we have to do this podcast. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And then I sent her the proposal. She's like, I have 700 topic ideas.
Yeah.
And it was that easy.
Yeah, there's no shortage of things to talk about.
Oh, no question. That's true. But when you decide to... I think there are a lot of people who think, many who we know, who think that having a podcast is like having a radio show, and they think not one step beyond that. Just give me a microphone, I'll talk into the microphone, I'll share my opinions, maybe I'll interview somebody, and ooh, people will flock to my podcast. That's not what a podcast is. This is a new world, and I know that the two of you who have been in this world.
Right.
And I'm saying this world is dead or anything, but this is a new frontier out there. Explain to me how that works into your philosophy for this show.
In terms of our topics that we pick or like how we talk? I mean, it's kind of an extension of her and I sitting in my backyard or when, because we socialize and do things
sure.
with families together. So, I mean, we kind of just go into the studio and are talking about things that have happened to our kids or, you know, bounce ideas. Because I live in the suburbs, she lives in the city.
That's an interesting, that's a really good, that's a benefit to your show, I think. It really is.
I think
very
so,
different,
too.
Yes, different perspectives. We have very different husbands. Both of them awesome.
One would hope, yes.
it's the same guy, but he changes personalities
when he lives
with us.
He lives in different places.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to go out of town, honey.
Polygamy is alive. But we have very different but very similar situations, and our kids love each other. So her little guy, Ethan, set up a little text group called the Podcast Peeps. they text each other about the podcast, which has been alive for 1 week.
That's one of the other things, and again, I've only heard the first two episodes, which have dropped, as we say in the podcasting world. You are going to, I am assuming, rely on and bring in experts to not just expound in general, but see, I think what I like about it so far is it's too topic. Do you know what I mean? It is not all over the map. And hey, 5-9-1-7, call us if your kid is being problematic. I think it's much better than that.
Also, we want to, and in fact, so thinking of the family, WGN, Kathy O'Malley weighed in, Spike weighed in, Cochran weighed in, but the idea that we want to include the voices of our listeners.
Yep.
So we'd like, we are setting up a Google phone number so people can call and comment or ask questions. We've got the social media thing, so even if someone doesn't want to be on the show, we can say, so-and-so thinks of this about organized sports. So we can interact without having it be live on air. Radio.
Yeah, you guys yeah. are really, really on the right track. I will start asking questions about Fiona Kogan and see what you can answer about that. But we'll talk more about the podcast, where to find it. I mean, you can go to, you go to the WGN.com page, go to WGN Plus, and it's pretty prominent on the page now. You can hear a shorter interview from the John Williams show. I don't know what else you've done, but you can find it that way. You have a Facebook presence now, or you
yes.
do. We're going to give you all this information. And Ben Anderson, the genius producer of Apparently, will put all that information on my site, too. So stay tuned. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado, not here, but for details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 7:20. On 720 WGN Chicago, if you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. We'll get a couple more commercials in, and then I will introduce the news.
Someone got it in for me. They're planting stories in their prayers.
Guess whose voice that is? That's Bob Dylan's voice. Guess whose voice this is? This is Rick Kogan. I was just in here talking with my guest for this whole hour, Ann Johnzos, and Tracy Weiner about kids, because their show is about kids. You two are very put together women moms in your 40s. Your kids are 12, 10, and 9.5. You have a potential audience for your podcast. Apparently, I'm now going to spell it for you. It's as in UHPARENTLY. Apparently, you can easily find it on WGNradio.com. You have a potentially vast audience because you two, you have been friends and you talk to each other as your kids are getting older and as they're going through the phases mm-hmm. of life. And I'm sure you talk to moms too. The resources available to mothers out there. We talked about going in a bookstore, you'll be overwhelmed. Online can not only be overwhelming, but I think it can be kind of alarming in that, what do you trust? Who do you trust? Where do you get your information?
How do you cut through the noise?
Yeah.
There's so much out there.
Yeah.
And we both have read so many conflicting things. And, you know, and you think your kid, and particularly with their first ones, like, you know, Kate had some stuff like, Sophie couldn't wear anything with a tag. I'm like, oh my God, she'll never progress. She's living in my basement forever. But that was a thing. Like, and so.
Just phases.
Yeah. But I seriously, and in fact, Sarah Hagen, one of her best friends was like, don't worry, Ann, I didn't wear jeans till I was 15. And I was like, because Sophie wouldn't wear denim.
Oh, yeah. Kate didn't like jeans.
No,
either.
Right. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she'll never go to college.
That's the trouble with the internet, though, is that one minute I look up what's the best way to handle the situation, and then a week later they'll say, no, that is the wrong thing to do. Do not do it that way.
Yeah.
You're going to harm your kid if you do this. And then you're scared. You're like paralyzed because you don't know what's the right thing to do here.
Yeah, you're going to get to very specific questions on your show. I have, it's going to be weekly.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep. Dropping on Sunday nights now because we've determined that a lot of moms are, at Sunday night they're like, I've got everything going on. What should I do for half an hour? I think I'll listen to the best podcast on the radio.
I'm not kidding you guys. I've heard two episodes, and I think the potential for this thing is limitless.
Thanks.
Frankly,
we do too.
I mean, you are both bright and personable people, and that's kind of a third of the battle. The other third is who you bring on as experts and or guests. I mean, you could. I'm sure there's some podcast out there where some mom interviews or like kids for a half. I'm sure there is. I have no doubt that there is that kind of show out there. Like, what's the matter today, Teddy? Well, yeah. Mom, I don't like spinach or something. And it's, and it's nonsense. I mean, I right. think your thing and I think your motivations are much different than that. You want to, I don't want to put it as a self-help kind of thing. You want to guide.
Yeah.
And advise people.
We make sure that we out front say that we're absolutely average parents. Like, I don't know any, I'm not any better than you are or this person at the soccer game. Like, we just want to get the best information possible to everybody.
But also, we're journalists or former journalists, how you look at it. And when you have a question, because you don't know the answer, you try to get the answer. So a lot of what we're doing is, what's going on with it? Let's find out.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and also, I think the best kind of interviewer asks the questions that everyone out there is thinking.
No question.
So,
when I think at this age, as it is with Fiona, who's a year older than the 12, 10, and 9.5-year-old, there was no social media when I was 12. I'm not even sure my parents let me use a telephone, for God's sake. And I'm sure that question is very high in the minds of your listeners and you too.
Yes.
And this week's episode is about, it's about gaming and social media. But so, you know, and Tracy's little guy wants to game and my kids didn't care. But the social media aspect of what you're allowing them to access, to whom they are talking, whether it's someone you can control or not control, mm-hmm. just getting in front of it rather than trying to fix it when it's late.
No question, because there are dangers lurking in there. Ben Anderson, the producer of this show, is kind of the producer of, you're producing your own show, but Ben is an essential element of your show.
Why don't we play,
do you have a clip from the show that we could play? Aubrey Mumpower, the world's greatest engineer, will figure this out shortly, and we should hear this and not another Bob Dylan tune in a minute. Ben is giving me a thumbs up.
Welcome to Apparently, the podcast for absolutely average parents. I'm Ann Johnsos.
And I'm Tracy Weiner. Ann and I have been friends for a very long time at WGN.
Yeah, we started here in the 90s. I produced Bob Collins and Roy Leonard.
And I produced Spike and Cochran.
So we spent our 20s as wing women for each other. And it didn't work out very well.
But then it did. And we found the right guys and we stood up in each other's weddings.
And then we had babies within weeks of each other. And we went from producers to reproducers.
We make it look easy.
Which brings us to this podcast. We want to talk about topics that intrigue us and you and provide some knowledge to other average parents.
We're average. We're not experts. So we'll tackle these topics with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, we get the experts. And I fully expect to embarrass myself along the way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we already have.
So welcome to Apparently.
We make it look easy. We make it look good. When everybody sees it, they start to make a look.
Before we start with our topic, I wanted to give a little peek behind the curtain. You mentioned as we were getting ready, something happened last night, and we should sort of set the scene that both of us have been stay-at-home moms. Roughly, you know, I did some work, but I've been home writing a book, and you've been home, and last night something happened. So tell your story.
Last night I was telling my son, who's 10, that I was going to go work with Auntie Anne in the morning to work on a podcast. And I said I got a job and I was going to do some work. And his face literally went soft. Like, I don't think he was going to be upset, but you could tell he was like internalizing what that actually meant. And he was worried that I was going back and I was not going to be around. And so when I told him later that I was just going to be gone for a couple hours and I'd still be there to take him to school or pick him up after school, I said that I was nervous, excited to be doing this with Auntie Anne. And he said, Mom, don't worry about it, because when I think about things at school and I get worried about something, if I have a partner, then I feel better because I know I have somebody to lean on. And he's like, you have Auntie Anne to lean on. So I thought that was really cool coming from a 10-year-old that he was thinking about it like that, because he's known you since he was born. So it was a sweet little thing.
And isn't it funny how they can teach us?
Yeah.
You know, it just, it cracks me up. They're such
little humans, but they're so smart.
Yep. It was pretty cute.
My other side to that was that my oldest, my 11-year-old, recently asked me when I'm going to go back to work because she thinks that it's important that I have an identity. And I said, well, Aunt Tracy and I are going to do this podcast. And she said, will you be making money? And I said, no. And she said, then it's not work.
Boy, is that a smart kid. Wow. We're going to talk about that. I mean, the ambitions you have for this podcast after the last break. But that's it sounds charming and it sounds, you know, well produced. It may not be all you, Ben, but it sounds well produced. Now, I will tell you this, and you should not let your children in there until they're of a certain age. The curse of the billy goat is finally over, and we've got Northside champions. But the billy goat lives on in the friendly taverns at Dot Chicago and in a new place, too. This is where the kids can get involved, ladies and gentlemen. At participating Jewel Osco stores, Mariano's, and Pete's Fresh Market in the Chicagoland area, you'll find the world-famous Billy Goat Burgers, frozen and ready to go home with you and serve to your children for breakfast. You'll be the chef, so start up the grill. Don't forget to add cheese, pickles, and onions, maybe a glass of milk, because kids need milk to create your very own world champion cheeseburger. Cheeseburger, we'll be right back. I have only a few minutes with, but I've spent, you know, 45 minutes with the two very, very, very smart people behind the latest podcast to join the crowd of WGN podcasts. It is Apparently, UHPARENTLY, and John Zos and Tracy Weiner are the smart people behind this thing. They've done a few, but have made available two so far, the latest of which you could get sometime today. But the great thing about podcasts is you can listen any time you want to. After screaming at your children in the morning and kicking them out of the house to go get the bus or to walk to school barefoot, yep. You can listen to the roughly a half hour. I think that's a wonderfully digestible size. What do you two hope? I know this is so early in the game. What do you hope for this podcast? I'm sure your hope on some level is to enlighten other ordinary moms about the frequent problems of growing up. But beyond that,
I think the start is that we do want to give a little hope to people who are muddling through the way we are. And we're not celebrities, so it's not like, you know, like Tom Hanks is telling you how to be a dad. It's just us. We don't know what we're doing, and we want people to feel like you don't have to. I think beyond that, we want to be millionaires.
Yeah. Well, podcasting certainly seems to be the way to become a millionaire in this day and age. But there is that possibility, too. There is also the possibility of your podcasting. Why? Except there are too many constraints sometimes. There is a real freedom in podcasting. There's a guy Ken and I wrote about a couple of weeks ago who created this 10-part series about the history of gay liberation from the 1920s to about the 1950s. It has been a sensation. I mean, he worked it, and there are actors involved in it. And he said he tried to pitch it to regular radio stations, and they were saying, well, we'd have to have commercials here, and then we'd have to do this, and we'd have to do that. I think podcasting, if not, it is a part of the future of mass communications. Are you two, you've done a few, maybe four or five so far.
Yeah.
Two are available now. If you just go to WGNradio.com, look up, go to WGN Plus, and you'll find it and listen to it. They're each about a half hour long. You both seem very excited so far. I mean, this has obviously been fun.
Yeah.
For both of you. It's also a creative challenge for both of you, yes?
Creative, like, where do we go next?
Yeah. No, what you
pick next.
Well,
there's so many topics. Like, I guess it could be kind of hard that you're trying to, let's wait till this, do this, like, at the school, start of school, and maybe we should cover this topic.
Oh, interesting. Sure.
Yeah, and we also, because they are supposed to be timeless and, like, not time sensitive, one of the ones I want to do, I pitched it for our first one. It was head lice.
That's a big problem.
She's like, let's not start with that one. But that's really good for going back to school, because when kids go back to school, that's what becomes a thing. And I was just like, it's so gross, But no one knows what to do when they get the letter from the school saying...
Yeah. Letter. I wish we got a letter from the school.
Exactly.
Well, and there are all these, even I know this, not because of Fiona, but there are these shops that are specialized in washing your hair to get rid of this stuff. I mean, unbelievable. Amazed that I didn't get head lice or something worse when I was a kid. You were going to have to, it occurs to me, because the world is the world in which we live. At some point, you may have to devote a show to a tragedy, in the wake of a tragedy that will be, for the two of you, virtually unavoidable, because I know, you know, talking about the questions that parents ask themselves, it's like, what do I say to my child who is, let's say, 10 and just watched this horrible thing on the news? I mean, that is something...
Yep. Necessary.
And we've talked about they have lockdowns at school.
Yeah.
After Parkland. Years ago when my kids were little and Sandy Hook happened and CNN was still on when they turned the TV on Saturday morning and they asked me why God lets children die.
Mm.
And that's the thing. And there are a bunch of, like, I just heard about grief yoga. There's yoga for people who are grieving in different ways. And first of all, I was like, yay, because yoga is great, but I don't do it. But, like, the way that you approach helping your kids get through things, and I've never heard of it. I mean, me neither. We'll do one on it. But the idea that we don't even know what's going to come up that will present us with problems.
Yeah. Well, I think there's going to be an interesting balance, and I think because you two are so smart, it will reflect the world around you rather than just what you heard from someone on the bus yesterday. I mean, that's the thing that may really distinguished, apparently.
In the week that the first episode dropped, so many of my friends, other moms in the suburbs, have come, you know, texted me or emailed me and said, you should do something about this, or, oh, I one of my friends was just talking about the ghost in the nursery, our very first episode, and she said, it's unbelievable, I'm crying listening to this right now because I'm actually dealing with something in my life with my family, and this really struck a chord with me, and I have no one to talk to about it, and it was so ironic that was your first episode. And I was like, well, thank you, Meg.
And also what's funny is we did that as our first episode, and both of us were like, ghosts in the nursery? What the heck is that?
Yeah.
But so many people have...
Yeah, my friend knew what it was, and she was...
You're going to find, there's no question you're going to find, even if the two of you go, wow, I just read this piece about something I've never heard of. You have a huge potential audience out there.
Yeah.
You know how many parents are out there, and almost every... I don't want to know the parent who knows everything.
Yeah, that's not my friend.
Yeah, and that's the guy on the baseball diamond, you know.
Oh, that's another episode we have coming up.
Beating his son up because he didn't get three. He didn't go 3 for 4.
That's one of our episodes.
As well it should be.
Yes.
Ladies, I can't tell you how... Anne, I've known you for a long time.
Aren't you glad you just met Tracy? Isn't she cute?
You two are a smart team. I met Tracy once at Chili's, but she was...
I was waiting on Spike.
She was too drunk to take my order. Tracy, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Come back in a few months and let's catch up and see how this is. Because I think it's going to be an interesting thing for you. I'm not sure it's going to be all girlfriend kind of laughs. I think there's some very serious things you'll wind up dealing with. And I think you'll grow stronger for it. And I think the people who listen to your podcast will grow stronger for it, too.
Thank you for having us.
So there. They're going to go now. They do not get a free car. I will tell you about a free car momentarily. But once again, it's apparently UHPARENTLY. They will eventually have a real Facebook presence and Twitter and Instagram and all that other jazz that I refuse to let Fiona play around with. But she'll be in high school next year, so, you know, the shackles come off. But best of luck, ladies.